Welcome back, guys. DJ S on KMO X coming to you from Studio C, working out some bugs. Here's the deal. So we have lots of electronics and radio, and we have a big board, and we're replacing the one in Studio B, which is the main KMO X studio. So we're in a kind of a side studio. And then everything just went haywire all of a sudden, and nothing was working. And so we played music for 5 minutes. Then I talked for 5 minutes without, you know, just like direction. So I think we have it handled, at least for the rest of the hour. We're going to talk to our buddy Bernie Miklas here. Hello, Bern. How are you?
I'm doing good. And, hey, I'll roll with the punches here. I know how technology can be. I wish that, metaphorically speaking, I could give each one of you a cold beer.
Oh, man.
Oh, that sounds
I would
amazing.
Love it. I thought you could say a warm hug. I'll take either one.
Say, like, Dave and I are just kicking back. It's Rachel and Andrew.
They're doing all the work.
We're a little stressed this afternoon, but it's okay.
Well, then poor Rach. She's running the board, and she's responsible for everything. And I don't know what any of the buttons mean. And then when she's talking, it starts going like, I gotta go. Poor thing is trying to keep going. And we're just leaving her hanging, like, oh, you sound weird.
It does sound weird. So this will be fun over the next few minutes.
Yes. So, okay, let's talk a little Cardinals. Coming from my normal guy in the bleachers, everything I'm reading from you guys and other people, I personally really like the direction the club is going. I like what they're doing. I like the let the young guys play and let's figure out what kind of team we actually have. Are you guys feeling similarly?
I really approve of what they're doing. I know some fans won't like that and they'll think that I'm working for the team or something, but it's seriously what they're doing is long overdue. They let this whole minor league system and coaching and instruction and equipment and technology and facilities, they let that thing slide and slide and slide for years. And it's a big reason why the team at the major league level has not performed as well. They needed to do this. It was a reckoning. And so I don't need them to continue to BS all of us and claim that we like our team. You know, we think we can contend. And, you know, we really like our club. You know, they're owning up to the fact they had to make big changes. Now, we can criticize them for taking too long to reach that place, but we've all expressed that opinion. So at this point, my view is that I'm just glad they're finally doing it. And furthermore, I also appreciate the Cardinals' transparency. They have been very open and very much upfront about, all right, here's the plan. Here's what we're doing. Here's where the money is going to go. This is what we're investing. We hired Chaim Bloom. He's hiring people. We're going to be in much better shape. But in 2025, we probably have to take a step back. That's transparency. And frankly, at times, the Cardinals have not always been real good about that. So I welcome the transparency as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I have talked about it a lot, Bernie, over the years. And I think all of us in town who talk sports regularly have covered this. There's just too much fixation on the payroll, because right now you can say, well, go sign more free agents, but that's going to prevent you from doing the thing you need to do. And we've watched them spend money and it not work. You know, like, doing what you've been doing is not going to make what you're doing better. You've got to find new ways, because look, they're in a great position, I think, long term, where they can be one of the two big shooters in their division. But you're never going to be the Dodgers. You're never going to be the Yankees. You are not going to be that. You have to find a way to be the more muscular version of the Brewers. Whoa.
That's a really good way to put it. And listen, I always study these things. You know, Bill DeWitt Jr.'s owned the club for 29 years. Listen, the two times that they won the World Series, the first time they were ranked, I believe, 10th in payroll. The second time they were 11th. So their average is between 10 and 11. And there were at least five top 10 payroll teams the Cardinals had during these years that didn't even make the playoffs. So I do not understand the fixation with spend. The Cardinals actually, through the years, up until recently, have done a good job of spending, but they kind of got away from their model. They didn't update it, and that meant they had to make some desperation signings just to try to keep up. But, you know, generally, and this is the part that sort of frankly drives me nuts, is that the idea out there is that you got to spend or you can't win. I got a ton of evidence that tells you that that's wrong. And why? Because I have studied their payroll for 29 straight years, and I see the correlation between what they spend and the kind of success they've had. And it is not an exact science or formula. You need to be smart. It isn't just about writing checks. You need to have a good baseball brain. And I think they're trying to get back to that.
You know, you've addressed the Arenado situation on The Bernie Show on YouTube. It's just youtube.com/@TheBernieShow. And we talked about some potential destinations for that today on the Gas House Gang. So if anybody wants that, you can go find it on the KMOX Sports/News Twitter page, Facebook page, YouTube. It's podcasted at KMOX.com right now, and all kinds of places you can find that. What I wanted to turn it and ask you about that, because I think we've covered a lot of that ground. Do you think there may be a surprise in the offseason? Because we've talked a lot about what we thought would happen, like letting people walk away. There are all kinds of national reports that Arenado is going to be at least shopped, or at least, you know, be a part of trade discussions. Do you think there might be something that would catch us off guard, or do you think we're all on track with what might happen?
I think we're on track. Now, you and I talked about this today, and I enjoyed our conversation about it. Now, I don't know if keeping Ryan Helsley would be considered a surprise. To me, it would be at least somewhat of a surprise. But if they decide to hold on to him and go into the season with him, even though that would be risky, because if he gets hurt, they won't be able to flip him at the trade deadline, and they won't get anything for him. But if they decide to keep him, because, look, he's such an important part of that team, that would surprise me. But I also understand that the reason they would keep him is because they didn't get the kind of offers that they would approve of, or they would like to justify trading him. In other words, they're not going to sell short on Ryan Helsley. It's got to be a great offer. And if that's their philosophy, I'm good with that as well, because there's no point in trading him just to trade him. You need to get really good value for a guy coming off a career season. Is probably the best National League relief pitcher in 2024.
You know, it's a fascinating thing, because there's a path to being competitive while retooling, right? Now, competitive doesn't mean 90, 92, 93 wins and a playoff spot, but just not tanking terrible, right? Because I don't think anybody needs that or wants that. I think it's a tactic that people like to point to the Astros and Cubs, like, see, they did it. Yeah, but how many other teams did it and it didn't work? And then you
end up a lot of failures.
Right. And then you end up repeating that 5-year cycle and doing it for another 5 years after you fire everybody else. I think this middle ground is the way to go, where if some guys stay healthy and you get a couple of surprises, you could be decent. And then you can evaluate in July whether it's worth adding to the team or not. But a complete teardown is just, to me, it's just so risky.
It did not have to be done. It does not have to be done. And I'm with you. There's a real mixed history of success and failure with teams that have tried to do it. The Cardinals just need to reconnect and revive their pipeline of minor league talent prospects getting to the big leagues and doing really, really well. And that applies to two guys that are on the team right now. If the Cardinals can get a true bounce-back season, really forward progress from, say, Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, this would look like a whole different team in 2025. And I think they have the batting coach to do it, because the more I learn about Brant Brown, the more I see he's got some stuff about him. And it means a lot to me that Albert Pujols was one of the guys that picked up the phone and called John Mozeliak and called Ali Marmol and said, you need to hire this Brant Brown. You need to hire him, because my career was just skidding off the tracks in Los Angeles with the Angels. I got traded to the Dodgers. He treated me like a normal player, not a legend. He said, listen, you're doing some stuff you got to get away from. We're going to fix you up. Here's how we have to do it. And Pujols gives him great credit for putting in a position to have a revival with the Dodgers, and then he brought that back to St. Louis, and we all know what happened here in his final season. So that anybody wants to talk like bellyache about how they didn't hire the right hitting coach, there's a guy that would like to talk to you about that. His name is Pujols, okay?
Let me ask you guys this. Part of most of what the Cardinals do is logistics and team building, but part of it's marketing. If this goes the way we think it's going to go, and they let Arenado go, and a lot of our big guys are gone, and Goldschmidt, they're going to let the young guys play, how would you guys roll this out to the fans as a way to get them excited?
Well, I think they have to just continue to be transparent, because I think that's one of the reasons fans have been alienated, because the Cardinals have sort of fed them the same stuff every winter. Oh, we like our team. We're going to make some moves. You know, there's been expectations of a higher payroll or more aggressive action, and that it doesn't happen. And I think the fans feel like, well, you know, we're not going to get fooled again. But if you be straight with them, I'm not saying people are going to be happy, but at least people will understand what you're trying to do it, and they can monitor you in an appropriate way. But, you know, the Cardinals have a lot at stake, too. And if they can reduce this to kind of one step back year and then be ready to have a winning team again in 2026, it'll help them. And they're going to have the payroll space to improve for 2026, because they have already slashed a lot of payroll this winter. And here's the deal, and I did a video about this today. The Cardinals have a lot at stake because they need to sell. They're going to sell streaming packages. Their own app that people can watch all games, no blackouts, either on their smartphone, their TV monitor, their laptop, their tablet, whatever. But you need to give fans a reason to be motivated to want to buy those packages. And then when the sports book opens, motivate them to come down and hang out at Ballpark Village. And the only way you're really going to do that is if the fans are convinced you're going to try to win again after maybe a one-year gap, as far as like 2025, and that you're going to really put some of those resources that they're getting, a lot of the resources that they're getting from the streaming package and from the sports book down the road, that'll be reinvested in making the club better. And so the Cardinals do, if they can help themselves a lot by making the fans more fired up about supporting stuff, including buying more tickets. But that's really up to the Cardinals to do. It's not up to the fans. You've got to give the fans a reason to get fired up again.
And, you know, everyone loves an underdog. I mean, if I were the market, I would play that up. You know, like, we're the underdog. We got these young guys. We're young upstarts. It's a brand new era of Cardinal baseball. That would work on me.
Yeah, and change the energy of everything, right? Because the Cardinals have always been old school, buttoned up. Yes, sir, no, ma'am. Get some personality. Liven up the sounds and the sights and the visuals at the ballpark and become more of an entertainment product.
That's right. That's right.
And the day of strange continues on DGS. We're still figuring things out, although we're going to make it, guys. I want to point out, before we get to the bottom of the hour, I want to tease everybody. The Sklar brothers are going to join us at 4:30 after the news. Randy and Jason are coming back to their hometown for the Flyover Comedy Festival, and they'll be playing next Saturday. Playing's not the right word. Performing next Saturday at the Sheldon. And all the details are there, but those guys are going to join us coming up next. Why don't we do a little throwback?
Absolutely. Throwback Friday, because we didn't get to do Throwback Thursday. 137 years ago in 1887, Wyatt Earp's friend Doc Holliday died of tuberculosis at a sanitarium in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. He was just 36 years old.
That was the saddest part of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Holliday.
You know the I'll Be Your Huckleberry thing?
Yeah.
So it's actually I'll Be Your Hucklebearer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Hucklebearer was a pallbearer.
Right.
Oh.
And so when he says to the guy, I'll be your huckleberry, he's actually saying, I'll be your hucklebearer.
Yeah.
Like, I'll bear you.
Yeah, because that never made any sense to me. So yeah. I'm glad you explained that.
If I remember right, I think people did say huckleberry, but it was a
reference to that.
It was like the lazy way of saying huckleberer, and it just kind of became a slang thing.
Yeah.
135 years ago in 1889, Montana was admitted as the 41st state.
Montana.
I've been there. I had a case out there, and I'd go out there about once a month. And the Big Sky Country, like, is no lie. It is just goes on forever.
Are there no lights?
Yeah, it's really, like, you can really see the stars.
Yeah.
Is it like, nice?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah.
Do they have Costco there?
I don't know.
Kevin's like, do they have Xbox?
So only one.
One more for you. 67 years ago in 1957, the Elvis Presley movie Jailhouse Rock was released.
Creepy song.
It is?
I mean, they're all dancing with each other and doing the Jailhouse Rock.
Well, we know what rock and roll stands for.
Damn, Wheels.
All right, Friday on DGS, Wheeler here, and I get a chance to talk to two of my favorite people, man. I love Randy and Jason Sklar, and they're coming to town next week. I couldn't be more excited about it. Part of the Flyover Comedy Fest. And you guys, first of all, welcome back. Good to talk to you. You guys, when I say friends, you guys are legit friends. You're the best guys in the world. I am so excited you guys are coming in, and I am so excited to see you guys at the Sheldon next Saturday.
It's going to be a blast. Thanks, Wheels. We love you, man. And it's what's amazing is we're coming home to St. Louis. It's our hometown. We still have, like, tremendous love for our mom still lives in the house we grew up in. Every time we come home, she's like, you got to throw stuff away. That's literally what our whole life is. You got to go up in your closets and throw stuff away. We're like, all right, go in the garage.
You got to go in the garage, and you got to throw away all your sports stuff, and then you got to go in the basement. We're like, Mom, honestly, Wheels, we have thrown away more things than we had when we were kids.
Yeah. Like, last time we were home, we threw away 3 lacrosse sticks. I never played lacrosse.
None of us played lacrosse. Nobody played lacrosse. I'm like, where do these come from? Whose are these?
Oh, that's great. It must be our parents' generation, because my parents literally just did that to me a month ago when I was back home. Like, go out in the garage. We got 3 boxes. We need you to check and see if any of that's yours. And none of it's mine.
Yes,
dude, they're doing the Swedish death clean. But it's one of those things. It's like your parents either go one of two directions. They either become a hoarder, and then you need to call Mac Paxton in and find out where all the Target bags went, and that there's like 89 rabbits living in the wall, or they're just cleaning everything down. So it's just like, let's get rid of it. So we'll be home in St. Louis throwing things away next weekend before our show. I'm very excited.
That'll be awesome. So Saturday at the Sheldon, it's such a great venue. It's part of the Flyover Comedy Festival. So if you go to flyovercomedyfest.com, you can get your tickets right there. You can get tickets, you know, you can get like a 3-day pass to go see a whole bunch of shows, because they're just shows all over the city for a 3-day period, obviously. But most importantly, come and see your boys on Saturday night. I'm coming out on Saturday night. I can't wait, because I've seen you guys perform here at least 3 or 4 times, and I've seen you outside of here a couple of times. It's one of my favorite nights. It's just such a show, guys, because everybody in the room gets it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talk about everything from parenting. We have kids, like teenage kids, and most people can relate to that. If you have kids or you were a kid, you're going to get this whole thing. We talk about life in St. Louis. We got a lot of St. Louis comedy we'll throw out there, a lot of local stuff that we grew up with. And it's just rapid fire 2-man comedy that you don't normally see out of the people ask us, hey, you're a comedy team. What's the best part about being a comedy team? And Jay, what do we say?
We say it's that we get to split the money.
No, that's terrible.
Literally the worst.
That's the worst.
Literally the worst deal.
Oh my God. I mean, this is not kissing your asses. I don't need to kiss your asses. I've known you guys for years. This is my personal view of you guys. Nobody does what you guys do. Nobody does it like that, with the speed, the timing, the funny, all of it mixed together. And I know you're twins, so I know your brains work a lot alike. But, I mean, that's work, man.
It is. And what we try and do is, I mean, Cardinals fans who remember the 80s with Ozzie Smith and the 90s, like, it's like turning a double play. I mean, Wheels, you were a catcher. You understand, like, you turn that double play, there's an art to it. There's the pass off, the underhanded flip as you're coming across and scraping the bag. It's like there's a poetry to it that we try and achieve as, like, a 2-man team that hopefully we get close to. And, you know, again, can't wait to do it in front of our hometown fans. We're telling, like, all of our high school friends to come out, like... Forget about a 30-year reunion. Let's go. Let's come. I want
this,
all the Park
this event is going to be like the TGI Fridays up on Olive on Friday of Thanksgiving. It's going to be a celebration. It's going to be a bunch of people getting back together, celebrating life, enjoying each other. People have told us when they watch us do comedy, it's like listening to a podcast at 1.5 speed. It's just like a barrage of comedy. And, of course, we'll throw in some local comedy. We'll talk about our hometown of Crevecoeur, which is the worst French pronunciation of those words ever. Crevecoeur.
It's not even close, man. Not even close.
Yeah, I can't believe they got De Pere correct. It's Des. If you're going to do Crevecoeur, you might as well do Des Perez.
Yeah.
Do you guys, hey, when you say that, when your friends come out, do you have the guys, your buddies from high school that think that they're funny like you guys and they can heckle you guys?
No, well, they're funny people. There are funny people, though. Our friends are funny. Like, we've always surrounded ourselves with funny friends. Our friend Dan Loiterstein, our friend Ben Holman. They're just great, yeah. Funny, funny people. And when we get together and reminisce about, like, the old days and being in St. Louis, like, we had fun, good times in high school with, like, really smart, great people who have gone on to do great things. So to reconnect with them is just a joy for us. So, again, it is really like a coming home. And the other thing I was going to say is that, you know, we kind of came to you through a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
So now we're coming home to St. Louis and hanging with new friends who we didn't grow up with, but like friends like you who we have made kind of later in life too, which is great as well.
We got to get our buddy, the Professor Joe, to get out there with us too on Saturday.
I love him.
I'm going to text him right as soon as we're done. I'm going to text Joe and make sure he comes out. So he's like the smart one of our little friend group. He works at Wash U. He's all smart and rich and everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just dumb and talking to a microphone.
Hey, same with us. Hey, we're on the same wavelength.
No, we went to the University of Michigan, which cost our parents a lot of money just so that we could get out and do a job that we could have done out of high school comedy. Okay, good. Smart.
Smart. We're really glad we wasted that money.
We've got Randy and Jason Sklar with us here on DGS. They're coming to town next week. So the 16th, Saturday night at the Sheldon, 8 o'clock start time. It's part of the Flyover Comedy Festival. Go to flyovercomedyfest.com. Pick up your tickets. Come out and join us. I'm going to come out there and just laugh because that's what I do. I love you guys, but I love comedy also. I mean, like, it's just separately from that. You guys are absolutely hilarious. And by the way, I didn't mention this at the beginning. I want to mention it now. I am still a regular on View from the Cheap Seats and Dumb People Town.
Thank you.
You guys do a great job with the podcast, and people can find those at supersklars.com as well. And I think that this coming week, though, like, perfect timing for you guys to be back here, right? People are coming back home. Thanksgiving is right down the road. Cardinals fans are in various states of
disarray,
nervousness, anger,
the rebuild.
Yeah, hot stove. We're in a hot stove phase right now. We understand. We will come and entertain you. We will pick up your spirits from the end of that season, and we will just make you guys feel good. I mean, the tickets are going. I just heard that they're selling pretty well. So, like, if you're as interested in doing it, I would jump on it sooner than later before it sells out. And it's going to be just a magical night back in St. Louis of comedy.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. There's other great shows. We're coming in probably on Friday night. We're going to do a Taggett show that we're doing at Hot Java, which is in the Grove. It's a much smaller venue. But basically, our friends, our comedians, go up and do their sets of comedy, and Jay and I are on stage writing, as we're listening, little pitches for jokes called tags. We call the show Tag It. And then after they're set, we come on stage and we're like, oh my God, I love that bit so much that you were doing. What if you did this joke? And we pitch our jokes to them in front of the audience. It's so much fun. It's very collaborative. It's the type of thing that happens in green rooms everywhere.
Nice.
And then we get to bring that to the stage and kind of peel back a little bit.
I want to give a shout out to Flyover Comedy Festival, because what they are trying to do for St. Louis, which is we always, always want to be a part of this. They are trying to bring national level comedy acts and national level comedy shows and national high-end comedy entertainment to St. Louis, so that they make St. Louis like a stop for all these big comedians and people who want to come back and be a part of it. So they're doing a wonderful service for St. Louis by bringing national level arts to St. Louis and comedy. And we want to be a part of that, of course. But it's a great festival that you guys should support, just because the better this does this year, the bigger the comedians are in the coming years, the bigger the festival gets.
Yeah, I mean, and I know I sound terrible because I know how much I love you guys and I love your routine. But I was a fan before I knew you guys. Like, way before I knew you guys, I was watching the Cheap Seats, and you guys had, I think, two or three different shows. I saw you on Entourage. Like, I was a fan. I thought you guys were hilarious before I ever knew you, and knowing you makes it even better.
Well, Cheap Seats was, like, engineered perfectly, thank you. But Cheap Seats was engineered for you. You're a sports guy. You know your sports. You like comedy. You love, I mean, if there's any chance to, like,
watched cliff diving from Acapulco from the 1970s with old Nelly, Keith Jackson calling it. You know, it is so fun, and if we can make jokes over it, it's just perfect.
Man, I got to tell you, on the nights, so the last time you guys were, and I don't remember the last time that I was in town when you were in town, but the last time we did that, you guys slayed the room, man. I think it was the fundraiser. I think that was when Nikki Glaser came out and did some stuff before you guys went out there. What an awesome night. What an awesome night.
Yeah,
but also,
beautiful.
Like, I don't think I've asked you this, but you guys perform all over the country. You have the podcast. You do movies. You've done TV. When you do the audience in your hometown, is it different?
Jay, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we try to not make it different because, you know, it's special for us in our hearts because we just feel good to be home.
Right.
And we also can do more local material because we really understand St. Louis. But, like, our goal is to just try and do the same set of comedy that we do everywhere. Some people might say it's even harder for them to perform at home because, you know, like, our mom's going to be the audience. And then you're like, how far do we push this envelope? But then I think she understands what we do. She's an adult. We're adults. We're in our 50s. We understand like how the world works. It's like,
by the way, you know something edgy is coming when you have to preface it with, we're all adults. We're all adults here. Everybody relax. Like, if you have to preface it with that, then it's like always going to be something of like, that's like the pre-apology. Hey, we're all adults here. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody fly off the handle.
Yeah. That's good stuff, man. I can't wait for next Saturday again. It's the 16th at the Sheldon. Boys, can't wait for next week. We'll do this again soon and we'll have you. We'll get you on our Gas House Gang. We'll talk some sports with you at some point in the meantime, but safe travels, be good, and we will see you next week.
Love you, Wheels.